Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering in this place in your name. And we ask, Lord, that you would now be speaking to us through your word, that you'd be bringing your Holy Spirit to work in each one of our hearts. We affirm that you are the master of the universe and the master of our lives. We bow before you. We humble ourselves before you. We affirm that you are in charge and we are not. And so we thank you for the privilege of knowing that. And then we ask that as we look to your word, Lord, that you would do a work inside of us through it. We affirm your right to tell us how to live. We affirm the fact that you've got a better perspective on the world than we do. We affirm the fact that you know the beginning and the end and everything in the middle. And so we recognize our need to hear from you, the instructions you have for us on how we should live out our lives. And we do, Lord, want to bring you glory in the things we think, the things we say, the things we do. So help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I invite you to turn with me in your scriptures to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll pick it up at about verse 11. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we're at today. And we're in the midst of a little mini-series on talking about God calling us to be blessers, to be people who bless others. We recognize that the reason we do that is because God has chosen to bless us. He blesses us in so many ways, and he invites us to know him personally. He comes to be our redeemer, our forgiver, to make us his children and draw us into his warm embrace. And then because of what he has done, we then live out lives that bring him glory. And one of the ways we do that is become people who are blessers. In fact, my goal, my hope, my dream for each of us is that we'd get a reputation. I know some of you already do, but maybe it can be improved upon, or maybe you already have a good one. But wouldn't it be great if we had a reputation of being that blessing bunch? Being that group of people who bless others. Being that group of people who know how to encourage and know how to strengthen and know how to help. Being that group of people who are willing to go out of their way to help someone in need. Being that group of people who are thinking about how much God has blessed them and they can't help but share that blessing with others. What if the reputation continued to grow that group of people that go to that congregation called Resurrection, those are people that are committed to blessing others? See, I think that's God's will for us, and I encourage you to be praying about that. Then I encourage you also over the coming weeks to, every time you look at your scriptures, God's word, to be cognizant of the power of words. As you're reading through it over the coming days and weeks, be recognizing how words are described as being extremely powerful. It is the spoken word which created everything. God said, and it became that way. God said, and it was. It was the word of God spoken through the Son of God, the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that calmed oceans or seas, that raised dead people, that delivered people from illness and cast out demons. It was the word. And it was the word spoken through the followers of Jesus that healed lame people and brought about these amazing transformations in the lives of people that were journeying towards hell and suddenly were stopped and brought into an encounter with the truth of God's word and came into faith. And think about how the scriptures say that the tongue has the power of life and death. So let God increase your appreciation for the power of the word. And think about how he assigned you a mouth. Every one of you has a mouth, except for the times I see pictures of you on Snapchat. You always seem to have a mouth, except then. A mouth, what's it for? Not just stuffing stuff in, but out of it coming the amazing power of God. Your mouth, as a clarion bell proclaiming the message of God, the word of God, the blessing of God. Your mouth has power. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see the apostle bringing this letter to the church of Thessalonica to an end. And he has talked about how we don't have to worry in chapter 4 about those who have already died, because we know where they are. We don't know exactly the timing of things, but we can be confident. And he says at the beginning of chapter 5 that, you know, we don't even need to talk to you about when the end's going to come, because you know that it's going to come like a thief in the night. And yes, it'll be destruction for those that are not ready, but you're ready. You're children of the light. You're children in a relationship with God. So even that should not be something that concerns you, worries you, causes you to fear. You can have confidence. Picking it up in chapter 5 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Actually, we'll start at verse 8 to get a little bit more. Verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. That's the beginning of this whole next paragraph we're going to dig into in a little more detail. But look at the things he's saying to set it up. These are huge statements. You are people who belong to God. So you live each day with His faith and His love and His hope surrounding you, protecting you, guarding you, preparing you. You're clothed in that so you can go forward into the day, and you know with confidence that God didn't appoint you to suffer wrath. God doesn't want to pour out His anger upon you. The anger of God is a reality. The wrath of God is a true entity, but it's going to be poured out on those that reject Him, those that choose not to respond in faith to Him. But you are not those people, is what Paul is saying. And we pray that that is true of each and every one of us, that indeed we are not those people who have rejected, but instead we are those people who have said yes, who have said yes to what God is offering, and yes to the message of salvation, the hope of salvation that we can wear as a helmet. We know then that God has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to receive this salvation. And He died so this amazing thing might be true. Verse 10. He died so whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Asleep is a softer way of talking about dying. Someone who's asleep, we sometimes call it that when they've passed away. Their body no longer functions. They're no longer living on this earth. Asleep. And he says, if you're asleep, you can be with Christ. What a glorious truth. For the one who has passed away, the one who has died, the truth is that if they're a believer, they're with Christ right then, in His presence. It's a glorious reunion. But he also says this. He says, whether you're asleep or awake, we may live together with Him. That means right now, right here, before we die, before we get to heaven, while we're living on this planet, while we're going about our routine in Beltrami and Crookston and Fertile and Ada and the surrounding areas, when we're doing our stuff, or Texas, wherever we are, we could be with Christ. Christ with us. Not wandering around alone, not fearfully trying to make our way through something, trying to find God eventually, but they're here in the now, the present reality, the moment by moment existence with Christ. Christ with us. That changes everything. That means the difficult times we're going through, we're with Christ. That means the wonderful celebratory times, we're with Christ. That means the things that are challenges we're not doing on our own, we're with Christ. Christ with us, the hope of glory, is how another epistle puts it. With that as a setup, then he says this in verse 11. Therefore, because all that is true, because you are with Christ, because you are not appointed to suffer wrath, but to suffer salvation, or to receive salvation. Because all that's true, encourage one another and build each other up in the Lord, just as in fact you are doing. Because of who you are, because of what Christ has done in your life, because Christ is with you, therefore live in a certain way. And how should that way be? Your living should be encouraging one another and building each other up. That means your assignment on these few short days as you're walking through life, as you're raising kids and farming crops and doing jobs, as you're buying groceries and supplying bodily needs with food and shelter and all those things, whatever it might be, during all of that, you are in the process of building people up, encouraging people, putting courage in people. See, my hope would be that we'd wake up each day and say, God, what's my assignment from you? What is it that you've called me to do today? How do you want me to live out these few minutes you've given me this day? How might I invest them for your glory? And then as you go through the day, your eyes hopefully are opened by the Lord to see those opportunities. And the reality of it is that sometimes the most powerful thing you can do to build up, to encourage, is simply a word, a spoken word. A word that points people towards God. A word that lets people know they're thought about, they're appreciated. A word that lets someone know that they're not just forgotten, but that they are on someone's mind and are on God's mind. Your words might be the way that you build up, the way that you encourage. Then as the paragraph goes on, he in rapid fashion, almost machine gun style, hits a bunch of situations where you could speak a word, you could give a blessing, you could be a person who's building somebody up or encouraging somebody. First, he says in verse 12, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. For those that are over you spiritually, encouraging you spiritually, helping you grow spiritually, he says to them, treat them in a certain way. Hold them up. Care for them. He talks about love that should be part of that equation. Now, here's an important truth, and I don't share this just because in some of your lives I serve that role. That's because as we have that mindset, it protects us and it protects those who are especially the younger ones around us. One of the things I've noticed with sadness over the years is occasionally there are families who like to speak disparagingly about leaders in the church. And one of the biggest dangers from that is that how that affects the little ears that overhear. Maybe you've seen it too, where there's a family that allows negativity, especially negativity about the church, about other Christians, where a family allows that, the kids become cynical about church. The kids start thinking, well, if that's what mom and dad think about church, then that's probably what I should think about church. And in fact, they take it a step further and they think, why even go through the motions then? Why even put up the facade at all? Let's just be honest. Let's speak all the time like we do at home about the church. And faith is destroyed. So I encourage you, not for my welfare or for any maybe leader's welfare, but for the welfare of the younger ones around you and for your own soul. Would you be a person that speaks blessing words about those who are over you in the Lord, who care for you in the Lord, who even have the assignment to admonish you in the Lord? Would you hold them in the highest regard in love? That doesn't mean you say they're perfect, because there are no perfect people, and certainly no perfect pastors. There's even no perfect churches. But what there can be is a perfect Lord who speaks His perfect word through us to build up and encourage rather than tear down. I think a true ingredient for a healthy congregation is the blessing words that congregation uses about each other in the congregation. Speaking words of encouragement and building each other up. Then he says at the end of verse 13, live in peace with each other. Live in peace with each other. In other words, that's something that requires some effort sometimes. It's something you must try to do, attempt to do. When I came across that word, live in peace with each other, it made me think about being a peacemaker or being a peacekeeper. There is a difference. A peacekeeper just tries to keep everything still and everything quiet and nothing flaring up. And as I thought about that, I thought of something else that's called a peacekeeper. What pops to mind when you hear the term peacekeeper? It's actually a term that dates back to 1873. It's the term that was applied to the Colt single-action revolver, .45 caliber, that was issued starting back then. And thousands upon thousands have been issued through the Army and then to other police forces, and civilians have been able to buy them for years, generations. A peacekeeper, a pistol called a peacekeeper. Don't be a peacekeeper like a pistol that shoots down anything that flares up. Instead, be a peacemaker. A peacemaker is someone that talks, that communicates, that when a situation needs to be addressed, doesn't just suppress, but goes in and enters into the situation and lets the grace of God start flowing and start healing and start rejuvenating. You can enter into relationships as a peacemaker, bringing the blessing words of God. And there might be heartaches, there might be misunderstandings, there might be sin that needs to be dealt with. But it can be dealt with because the Holy Spirit comes to bring the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. So you can be a peacemaker in difficult situations. Not fearing those situations, but entering into them, knowing God has called you to be blessed, to be a blessing. He puts His word in you so it can flow through you to bring healing and hope. Live in peace with each other. Verse 14, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. The assignment gets bigger and bigger and bigger. There's so many people that are in need of a touch of God, and you are to be the hands of God on this planet. Story's told about a little girl who, during a thunderstorm, ran to the parents' bed and jumped in bed with the parents. Was scared, and the dad said, "It's okay, honey, go back to your bed. Jesus is in your room too." And she says, I know, but just now I need somebody with skin on them." And that's who you are. You can be Jesus to people, the sons and daughters of Jesus, the children of Jesus, the mouth of Jesus, the hands of Jesus, the ones with skin on them, to people. To encourage, to lift up, to build up, to edify. Verse 15, make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Not just those in the church, but for everyone. Our mindset is, how do we do good today? How do I help someone today? Verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When you rejoice, people get infected. When you give thanks, people are influenced by that. When you are praying continually, the power of God is unleashed into situations. It's an ongoing decision of your will that I'm going to look not at the negative thing here, but at the positive thing that God is doing. In every situation, I'm going to rejoice. In every situation, I'm going to give thanks. And in every situation, I'm going to lift it up to God in prayer and a communication with Him about it, getting His mindset on it. It's a choice we make. Would you choose to be a blesser? Choose to be a blessing? Choose to be someone that sees God at work, even in the heartaches. So Lisa went through the ditch with my pickup, rolling it over. Every side got impacted by it. I just bought it a month ago. It was old. It was 12 years old, but it was in really good shape. I looked a long time for a good pickup. Well, what's the blessing in that? The insurance just paid off my pickup. I now have a pickup with a dent on every single side, but it's paid off. So there's good in every situation. Sometimes when you try to do good, it seems like something negative happens to you. There was a very kind woman that stopped to help Lisa on Wednesday morning. I was just 5 minutes behind her on the road because I was taking Jaden to a knee appointment, which we never got to. But this woman stopped to help Lisa, and another guy too. And after the woman had to give her eyewitness report to the deputy sheriff, she was walking back to her pickup. And just then, a semi-trailer was coming down that road, hit that icy patch, and started jackknifing. And that trailer, the trailer of that truck swung over and completely demolished that woman's pickup that was parked there. A lot more damage than what Lisa's pickup got. After things had calmed down a little bit, I was able to walk back to her where she was sitting now in her husband's vehicle waiting for all the paperwork. And I said, thank you for one, being willing to come help my wife. And I'm so sorry that your pickup got destroyed because of what you chose to do, to be kind and helpful. See, we live in a world where sin is rampant. That woman could have just said, well, I'm just going to go on my way and not going to stop and help. And she would have never had her truck destroyed. But it happened. Now she's got a choice how she's going to respond to that. And sometimes you will try to do something that's kind and something that's a blessing and something that's an encourager, and some people just shoot you down. They'll react negatively, thinking you're meddling, thinking you're trying to stick your nose in somewhere where it shouldn't be. Don't let that stop you. The Word of God says, be a person that's looking for the opportunities to build up, to encourage, to let the Word of God flow through you into those situations. And every time you get shot down, every time your pickup gets destroyed for trying to do something nice, keep on getting up and doing it again. Maybe if you do it often enough and long enough, you'll get a reputation for just being one of those types of people that cares. Being one of those types of people that is willing to risk. Being one of those types of people that's willing to let God work through them. And when that happens, God will get glory. See, your lives, the good times, the bad times, can bring God glory. Your words can be God-sent words to release blessing. Sometimes the words are real small and simple. A time came to my memory of about 6-7 years ago. My parents had come to visit us when we lived a long ways from home. And as my dad was interacting with the family and my oldest daughter, one time he's looking at her and said to her, you know, Nicole, you're a hottie. She goes, what? You're a hottie. That's okay, isn't it? Is that the okay thing to say? He said, started doubting himself. He was trying to speak in the teen lingo, in the vernacular, and all of a sudden he got cold feet. Maybe that came across wrong. But he was trying to tell her, you look really nice today. But he did it in such a comical way. You know what happened? That event got repeated. Nicole told people what Grandpa said. My mom told people what Grandpa said. It was repeated numerous times, and Nicole remembered. Grandpa thinks I'm pretty. It was a simple little humorous fumbling attempt from a guy trying to jump two generations of lingo, but what came across was concern, care, appreciation, love. That word was a blessing. See, blessing words get remembered. Blessing words get remembered. I want to speak to dads especially. If you're a dad, God has called you to use your mouth to speak blessing to your kids. Some dads are good at being strong and silent. But if you're so strong and so silent that no words ever come out, the way that gets perceived is by lack of appreciation, lack of interest. So if you're strong and silent and a man of few words, that's okay as long as there are a few words. And those few words are blessing words. When there's few words, every single word has more value. You know, you talk too much, the words get watered down, and all of a sudden there's not as much meaning in each one. But if you're a man of few words and you say a blessing word, you tell your daughter she looks really nice today, you tell your son you're proud of him, you tell your daughter you're so proud of the way she's turned out and the way she cares about people, you make those statements that are in alignment with God's truth and reveal the true character of that child. So it's reinforcing what God is already doing. There is power in that statement that lets that youngster accept the truth of God, believe the truth of God, hang on to the truth of God. Our children are bombarded with so many negative messages. They need to hear God's truth spoken through your lips. And if you're a dad, the role of you speaking blessing is so incredibly huge. Of course, it's true for all of us, moms in particular, but dads, be men who speak the blessing of God. This section concludes with Paul speaking a blessing over the people. He goes from giving instructions on how to be blessers to actually speaking a blessing. In verse 23, he says to them, "Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." If you're wondering what you can say, there's a sample right there of a blessing. But all throughout Scripture, there are words of God for you to grab a hold of and turn into a spoken statement over the people God assigns to you to bless. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the blessing that you are to us. We thank you for giving of yourself that we might experience life. We thank you that you loved us so much, you gave your very life, you laid down your life that we might live. Now help us, Lord, to respond in faith to you and to recognize you are always with us so that now we can live for you. We can live lives of being blessers. Help us to do it in the church, in our family, in the community. Give us a reputation, Lord, of being blessers. We pray this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.